This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Look, you can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious! That ball was on the line! Chalk flew up!
Welcome to This Week in Tennis. Welcome to This Week in Tennis. That was Kansas. Let's play the game tonight on the most controversial and copycatted radio program known as This Week in Tennis. My name is Phil Nasons, and I'm the host of this weekly radio program dedicated to the sport of tennis. From the teenies all the way up to the top pros in the world, we cover the matches and the issues and everything else in between to bring you what we feel is the most complete an original program of its kind anywhere. I'll tell you something, the tennis community lost a very good friend this past week. Brad Druitt passed away at the age of 54. Brad was a former top 40 singles player. He was a top 20 doubles player. He played, I guess, from about 1982 to 1990 maybe. Anyway, Brad is survived by his wife, Joanne, and his children, Jack, Allie, Joe, and Tom. He was the current, or I should say now the former, ATP Executive Chairman. Tonight I'm joined by Craig Doyle from CraigDoylePhotography.com. Craig, what do you make of all that? What was the impact Brad Druitt had on the sport of tennis, particularly the ATP Tour?
Well, as you just touched upon there, Phil, very sad news indeed. And Brad was the president of the tour. He was an inspirational leader. And for those unaware of how difficult a role he had, I don't think too many would envy the post he held, being president over both the ATP players and the tournaments, effectively being the man at the top of the tree, but often the man in the middle. He's a guy that dealt with all the egos on the tournament side and the player side. He's the one that provided leadership for the tour, and it's going to be a huge void to fill, and he will be greatly missed by everyone on the tour.
Yeah, that seems absolutely right. You know, when I think of Brad Drewitt, I think of a guy who cared about the little guy. You know, when he played, a guy ranked number 40 in the world wasn't exactly getting rich. And he saw to it during his very brief tenure as the ATP executive chairman that these young people ranked in the top, say, 120 to 60, guys who got to the first round of majors made some cash. And that's something that a lot of guys tried to do, but he was one guy who was able to do it. When I think of Brad Drewitt, I think of a guy who was very graceful and very gracious, and someone who knew how to talk to the crazy ones and talk to the good ones and talk to the egomaniacs and whatever. He understood the sport. You know, it's important for someone in that role to actually have been on the court, on the tour, traveling every week, understanding what the players go through, what they need and require, and, well, what they only desire and want. Now, he understood the difference. He made sure the boys, or he did his best to make sure that the boys had what they needed and required in order to participate at the highest levels of tennis. And that's something that someone, probably a layman, someone outside the sport, wouldn't understand. And that's, to me, important. But more importantly, he was a great human being. He was a guy I met a long time ago and became friends with. And I'm still not doing so hot about it, really, to tell you the truth. He passed away from ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. It was a horrific thing, especially for someone who was a former top professional athlete to not be able to function anymore. It must have been horrific for him. But he has a great family, great kids, and he will be sadly missed. I'll tell you that right now. Sadly missed. Rest in peace, old friend. Take care. Anyway, Madrid, they went crazy. I'll tell you something. Every year in Madrid, something happens, man. You ever notice that something happens in Madrid? Was it last year where they had blue courts?
It was last year where they had blue courts.
See, my mind has not completely left me at 2:10 a.m. But needless to say, see, we get up early for you folks to bring you this show. Oh, boy, oh, Marón. I don't even know where to begin, honestly. But let's just get the cat out of the bag. And for the record, I completely support the ATP in their decision to take away the credentials of one John Tomic, the father and slash coach of Bernard Tomic. For those of you who are living under a rock or, well, don't pay enough attention to the sport on a daily basis, John Tomic is alleged to have assaulted the hitting partner of young Bernard, Thomas Drouet, or Drewitt, claims he was headbutted in Madrid. Sheesh. I don't even know where to begin, Craig. Where do we begin on this?
To be honest, it's just, you know, one of those stories that's so difficult to believe because you don't see these sort of violent acts every day on the tour. You know, you can go through a whole season and you'll not ever come up with something like this. And then, you know, it comes out of the blue. It comes from the camp of a player who has caused a little bit of controversy in recent times. And, you know, it's taken things up a step from any of the other controversies we've heard from the Bernard Tomic camp. It's another level completely.
It's an insane level is what it is. If this young fella, Thomas Drewitt, is to be believed, then I don't see why he would be lying. He claims that the father has struck his son on multiple occasions. You know, when people ask me why I stopped being so tough on young Bernie, and it was right at Miami. And there's a reason for that, because someone wrote to me and asked me to watch this kid play a little bit and pay attention to him. They said, because something's going on there, and now we know what. You know, this happens more than you think. You don't see it at the top levels because it gets weeded out, you see. A lot of these kids who are in difficult relationships with a parent or parent/coach, or even just a coach, wind up just dropping out of the sport usually, or don't succeed or whatever, for a lot of reasons, mainly because they're just uncomfortable on the tennis court. For young Bernie, and you think, if anyone thinks that this is an isolated incident, this has probably been going on for a long, long time. I'll bet you that this kid has never had a happy moment on the tennis court in his life. My, oh my, I got a lot more to say, Craig, but I don't know how I want to say this. What I will say is this, to begin with, this is just sickening behavior. You know, and like I said, it happens a lot more than you think, but it does seem to get weeded out. The ATP, you know, people are saying, why didn't the ATP step in sooner? Well, the ATP isn't the parental police, okay? The ATP protects the players, but only when there's a complaint issue. They have to have proof. For them to do what they did, they must have been building a case for a while. I don't know, man. All I know is that that's a difficult situation there. And I really want to go off on this guy. I really do. But these are allegations. It's not proof. But boy, when there's smoke, there's fire, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. And, you know, you touched on it again there, that John Tomic's a name that we've heard before. And when you hear a name of a parent like that, you don't want to think the worst. You know, you might just want to think that the parent's gotten a little bit excited with their kid, maybe taking things a bit far. And in the case of John, you know, it disappeared again. There was nothing heard about John Tomic for a while, and all of a sudden his name's popped up again. But, you know, to be assaulting people on a tennis court, it's, you know, it's unthinkable. It's, you know, it's not a violent game. It's not a contact sport in that way. So it's, you know, the last thing you'd expect to see around a tennis court.
Well, I've seen that stuff before plenty of times. But growing up playing junior tennis, I've seen it. You know, there's a book. My friend Barry Buss, who was one of the top players in the junior circuit, played at UCLA for a year. I think he still holds the consecutive match wins at UCLA, if I'm not mistaken. He's written a book called First in a Field of Two, and in it he chronicles the life he spent playing junior tennis and having a father who was, well, less than supportive. If you are a junior tennis player, or if you are a tennis coach, or if you're a parent of a young kid who's just getting into tennis or playing junior tennis, I strongly recommend that you purchase Barry Buss's book, First in a Field of Two. Trying to get him to come on the show, but you know what? These things are difficult to talk about. But I got to tell you, this book is well written. Barry bears his soul there. He talks about a lot of things and things that he did in reaction to the way he was treated at home in his home life from a father who, well, wasn't his coach, but obviously was a big part of his life. First in a Field of Two, it's an amazing book, and I highly recommend it. There'll be a link in the show notes where you can purchase this book. I think you can get it at Amazon. If not, Barry will contact me in the morning. He gave me permission to bring it up tonight. He was on the tennis court while I was writing to him. But he's a good guy, and he is, I'm telling you, Craig, if you haven't had a chance to read this book yet, this is an amazing book, and it tells a lot about, and it helps to explain Bernie Tomic. In fact, Craig, in this book, Barry talks about Bernard Tomic, I believe, a little bit about the lack of support or why he doesn't criticize Bernard Tomic the way some of us do. And it was at that time when I really stopped criticizing Bernard Tomic, because I remember some of the stuff that happened when I was a junior. So, and to me, too. I mean, it's not easy to have, you know, very vocal parents, but needless to say, it's a great book. It's a great read. And I suggest anyone who is involved in junior tennis, whatever level, should pick it up. And I suggest anyone who fails to understand a John Tomic should pick up this book. But back to John Tomic. Sheesh. You know, there's been so many incidents over the years, little things, you know, that little smoke that leads to the fire that people probably didn't pick up on right away. Or if they did, what can they do about it, really? He's the kid's father, for God's sakes. You can't just divorce him from it. But, you know, when you talk about the incident he had with Leighton Hewitt, where apparently Bernard Tomic refused to practice with Leighton Hewitt because Leighton Hewitt wasn't good enough. You know, that's a bunch of hogwash, and I'll tell you why. Leighton Hewitt is an icon in Australia and worldwide, really. He was still on the tour. Any 14 or 15 or 16-year-old kid, any 22-year-old kid, hell, I know a 48-year-old kid that would hit with him out in Corfu if he wants to come. But needless to say, that kid's probably had Leighton Hewitt's picture on his wall since he was a kid. You know, you start to think, wow, maybe it's not Bernard. Maybe it's the father doing all the yapping. You know, I don't know, Craig. Really, this is a scary thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you bring up one incident that does stick in my mind about John Tomic when he claimed that Leighton Hewitt, you know, former world number one Grand Slam winner, wasn't good enough to hit with Bernard Tomic at practice. I believe it was Wimbledon a few years ago. And you know, for John Tomic to come out and make these comments, disrespectful comments about Leighton Hewitt, a top player in his day and still a good competitor now, that he's not a good enough practice partner for his son. On one hand, it shows that he's, you know, trying to get the best for Bernie Tomic, but on the other hand, you know, the offer of someone like Leighton Hewitt coming to your son, a relatively unknown young player, who admittedly has great potential, you know, you've got to be respectful of that. You've got to, you know, take him up on that offer. To come out and trash Leighton Hewitt as if he's, you know, a nobody, and Bernard Tomic, you know, is at that stage, you know, a relative unknown, is not going to hit with a legend like Hewitt. Was just, you know, it showed a little bit of John Tomic's character, the way he, you know, he's quite happy to disrespect others. I'm quite worried about John Tomic, actually. At the moment, he's had his ATP credentials revoked from Madrid. I don't think he's going to get them for Rome. And I'm just reading at the moment that the French Open have revoked his credentials as well. So he's going to be off the tour for a bit. But, you know, how long till this guy's back in Bernard Tomic's corner? Probably not too long. You can't keep this guy off the tour until they have some solid evidence here against him. And I'd not like to think that John Tomic is going to walk back on the tour and we're going to see repeat incidents like this.
Well, they can keep him off, Craig. That's the whole thing. They absolutely can. You know, it's pretty difficult. You have to be pretty far out there to get your credentials lifted. I mean, it takes a lot, even temporarily. For certain, until this legal matter is resolved in Madrid, you won't see him at any tennis facility anywhere that the ATP controls. The ITF is a different instance, but I'm sure they'll step in and fall in line. Sheesh. You know, the thing is, though, is when you talk about lifting a guy's coaching credentials, they haven't lifted his father credentials, which means he could very well travel to Rome. He just can't be at the facility. Now, I'm not sure how that works as far as at the hotels that are sponsored by the ATP. You know, because they get free lodging, as you know, for the week, free room and board, really, for the entire week that they're there, whether they win or lose. I don't think that he's allowed to be there either. But that doesn't mean that John Tomic isn't still a part of his life, because I'm more than sure he is. I mean, he's still his father. You know, that's that delicate line that when you're in the business, and people don't like it when I say that, but really, you have no idea what goes on at these things. You know, tennis is, I say this all the time, that tennis is the most healthy sport in the world, but it can also become very dysfunctional very quickly in the life of a player. It just depends on the support staff that you have. You know, I've had, for the most part, healthy experiences, but I've been involved in some things that I wish I wasn't, you know, but we all have done that. We've all been there. If you've been in this industry long enough, sheesh, you see it a lot at the juniors, though, man, really. You know, parents, stop sometimes being parents because they lose perspective. I'll tell you a story. I was coaching this young lady, and I'm not going to name her name. It's not nice. But needless to say, her parents, they came to Corfu, and this young girl just won a grade 5 tennis tournament. It's a junior tournament, grade 5 being the lowest level of junior tennis. This girl was also 18 years old. And as soon as she won this tournament, which was, I believe, in Ireland or somewhere, she got an agent. And she came to Corfu, and, well, I saw her play, and I was like, dude, you got to lose this agent, and you got to concentrate on getting her into college in America because she can't play pro tennis. She can't even beat these kids. None of these kids here are going to play pro tennis. She's 18 years old, for God's sakes. You know, 14-year-old girls were winning matches at the U.S. Open. I mean, come on. But the parents had lost perspective. And one of the things that I noticed when I was watching her play here at the Corfu Cup, which is a grade 5 tournament as well, I've sat as far away from them as I could because I was trying to make a decision on whether to coach this person or not. And rather than watch her, I watched the parents. And you know what? They didn't look like parents as much as people who were like stockholders watching their shares drop because this girl was losing to a little villager from Greece who was just better than her and a better competitor. And I gave that whole deal a Pasadena because of that reason. I was just worried, and it turns out I was right. You know, this kid ended up playing like at 3 different colleges. I believe she's coaching now, but I lost kind of track. Don't care that much anymore. But still in all, that's just an average account of what can go on. I mean, it happens, Craig, and it's really sad that it does. But I think these parents lose perspective. And I think John Tomic, I don't know, people speculate that he wanted to be great in tennis or whatever. Well, how do you know that for sure? I mean, let's stick to the facts. The facts are that allegedly he popped his kid a few weeks back. Then, you know what, I think it's time to play this. It's a short little tape. It's about a minute and 12 seconds. It's from Miami. Bernard Tomic was playing against David Ferrer, where Bernard Tomic actually asked the chair umpire to have his father removed. Here, I'll play it for you right now.
Well, tennis player found it annoying.
Chris Schaubel joins us with more on the tennis star who wanted one of his biggest fans thrown out of his tent.
No. He sure did. I wonder if my daughters will do this. The annoying track dad. Australian tennis star Bernard Tomic tried to get his father, who is also his coach, I know, dear old dad, thrown out of the stadium because he was being annoying. All right, the Wimbledon 2011 quarterfinalist became so fed up with his father's constant coaching, he eventually pled with the umpire to get him out of here.
He's annoying me. I know he's a father, but he's annoying me. I want him to leave for the house possible.
And if you get him to leave with us,
it's not going
to
happen.
Tomic is not happy with some of the reactions of his dad, and he's actually got a warning for being coached by his dad, and after he's got the warning, he's actually said thank you to the umpire.
Well, the dust-up between father and son happened during the Sony Ericsson Open in Miami. That was Saturday. Tomic eventually lost the match 6-4, 6-4. This is just the latest incident between the two, which is sparking speculation that Tomic could soon be in the hunt for a new coach. He'll always be dad, but perhaps it's time for a new coach.
He's grounded. You throw me out, you're grounded.
Make for an awkward Father's Day.
Yeah, cut off his allowance.
All right.
Yeah, that was interesting. Craig, I'll tell you something. Bernie asked the umpire to remove his father, and the umpire gives Bernie a warning for being coached off court. I mean, what is this?
I'll tell you what it is. It's not the best piece of umpiring we've seen in recent times. A little strange from the umpire, but... you know, you could understand Bernie's point of view because he was getting hounded on by his father during the match. And that's, you know, that's not coaching, you know?
Not at all. And what's even worse, though, Craig, is when you watch, there's another, like, five-minute YouTube clip out there. And you see the body language of John Tomic on the sidelines. And even the commentators were talking about it. And those are those BBC commentators who ain't the sharpest knives in the drawer usually. So, I mean, honestly, This is horrific. Now we understand why he spent time in Miami with the cheerleaders instead of the practice court. I wouldn't want to be on the practice court with this guy either.
I think with John Tomic, we've got a case of this real strong character who's got a real desire and will to win. Unfortunately, John probably forgets when he's at the side of the court that he's not the one that's actually on the court. He's not able to directly influence the play on the court. And, you know, he probably looks at his boy and he thinks, yeah, he's got great potential. Can I get him up there with the top players in the world? He probably believes Bernard has the ability to get up there with those top four or five guys on the tour. But what he forgets, again, is when you're watching from the sidelines, when that ball is not coming across the court to you, you've not got to move to it and play a stroke back. It's a different game when you're sitting on the sidelines. And, you know, John clearly is an emotional guy. Combined with his desire to win at all costs, I think he just gets a little bit carried away. He invests a little too much in his emotions, and he lets them spill over far too often. And unfortunately, John doesn't realize that he's harming his kid's chances, not only with his body language at the side of the court and his actions and what have led to him getting thrown out of spectator areas, etc., but even in the practice court, he's putting a lot of pressure on his kid. And I know he's trying to drive his boy to win, to be the best he possibly can be. But, you know, ruling through fear, having a hold over Bernie through fear, I don't think it's going to be the way to get the best out of Bernard Tomic. And, you know, the sooner John realizes that and maybe backs off a little bit, gives Bernard a little bit more space to show a little of that creativity and talent that he's got, I think he'll get a lot more from his son as a player. And I think he'll get a lot more respect, not only from his son, but from other people in the tennis world that are around him that right now are looking at him and, you know, really don't want anything to do with him.
Well, there's a good reason they don't want anything to do with him, Craig. Because who wants that in their life, really? But it, you know what? It explains Bernard Tomic a bit. How do I say this correctly? I want to do this the right way. You know what? Bernard Tomic has been accused, and we've been hard on him a little bit too here on this show, of tanking matches or not giving his best effort. Do you ever think that perhaps it's because this is the only thing that young Bernie can control? That he has no other control in his life other than what goes on in that court, and that either way he's going to catch hell, so it doesn't really matter. So when he goes up against an Andy Murray or whatever, it's like, all right, let's just get this over with so I can get that over with so I can maybe function. I think that has a lot to do with some of the other things that you see too. The fast car stuff, the fights in the hotel room with his friends, it's all a part of it. It's a part of, this is his part of his life, the only part of his life he can control. You see that with the young ladies too. You know, some of these young ladies, not all of them, but some of them develop anorexia because, quite frankly, it's the only thing that they can control, what they take in and what obviously when they purge. It's all about that. And a lot of times we go back to these roots and you see there's abuse there or low self-esteem brought on by abuse, by overcritical parents and whatever. And I'm not trying to tell anyone how to raise their kid. That's their business. But this is a sad, sad tale because, quite frankly, all a kid ever wants to do is please their parents. And I'm sure Bernie Tomic is just like that. You know, these young people from Yugoslavia, Croatia, in that area, they're very close to their families. And they want to do, there's nothing more than this kid. You can tell almost that this kid wants to please his parents and he can't for whatever reason. It doesn't matter what this kid does, it's never good enough. So when he steps on the court against a Murray or a Djokovic, and I'll tell you this, I think Bernie Tomic has the goods. Look how far he's come with all this mess around him. Can you imagine what he could do in a supportive environment? One where, yes, you get criticized because, quite frankly, that's what you hire a coach for. But then you go home and you got a father who says, you know what? You got to hang in there. You got to listen. If this continues and we don't, well, he's not helping you, we'll get you a new one. But hang in there, son. You're doing great. I'm proud of you. That's all this kid ever probably wants to hear. And I'm not so, I don't know if he hasn't heard it, but it don't look like it, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think his father's the only sort of coach he knows. I think even in that perspective, it's difficult for John Tomic to separate the father and coach side of things. Being a parent's one thing, but being a coach is a completely different thing. From an emotional perspective, he's got to take a different angle on being a coach to being a father. And I think a lot of top players have found over the years that, you can't have a parent as a coach because the emotional connection you have to your coach as a parent just makes it so difficult to take on board criticism, advice, and whatever. And I think in both ways it's difficult. I think Andy Murray found that out as a good recent example. And, he was quick to move away from his mother, who was his coach for a while. I think if you want to look back for a few other sort of disastrous partnerships, there was a young French lady not that long ago whose father was exactly in the John Tomic mold. He was I believe she was called Aravain Rezai. Anyway, her father happened to be in the sort of exceedingly violent type of character. Eventually, he got indefinitely banned from the tour. But if you look at where this young girl, Rezai, is now, I mean, this is a girl that Venus Williams said she hits the ball so hard that it's difficult to return against her. She's going to be one to look out for in the future. Where is she now? She's sitting down at 180-odd in the world. So you can see the impact that having a father as her coach has had on this girl. And, I would really like Bernard Tomic not to go down the same route.
Now, that makes sense. You know, I'll tell you something. I've seen some healthy father-son or father-daughter coaching relationships as well. So I'm not so sure that a father or mother can't coach. I think the biggest problem would be, are they able to guide their young person in a world that if they've never been in, they don't understand? You know, that's a tough, tough world out there at the top levels of tennis. And I think that you need people in your corner who've been there, who can do what's necessary. You know, it's all part of a team. And I think the problem in Bernard Tomic's camp is that it's a dysfunctional camp because you've got the very strong personality of the father. I don't know anything about the mother. But and then you've got Bernard, who's also pretty strong-willed at times too. And, well, you know what? You've got a recipe there for disaster. Especially, and here's the other problem. You've got this John Tomic guy. He's threatening Tennis Australia, and he's saying to them, I'll take my son and play in Croatia. You know, you're not going to be able to tell guys like Patrick Rafter and Todd Woodbridge and Josh Eagle these things because they're just going to look at you like, who are you? You know, you're talking to guys who've won multiple Grand Slams. You know, you're not going to, and this guy has done relatively nothing that I can figure out. But needless to say, it's a horrible thing. You know, and this isn't the only bad dad's club member. You know, I remember Jelena Dockich, a friend of mine was at Wimbledon a couple of years ago, and he was telling me, he goes, man, you're never going to believe what I just heard. So, of course, you know, I want to hear the gossip, right? And he said Jelena Dockich spent the night in the dressing room because she was too afraid to go home to her father. How in the hell can that happen, man? How can you be that frightened of your family to where you want to sleep in a locker room? And more importantly, and this is the hardest thing I just can't get, is why you would subject your kid to that. And here's the funny part, though, Craig. This kid is the sole breadwinner. These kids are the sole breadwinners in most cases of their families. And that's why they stay out there on the tour, some of them. My gosh, how do you talk to your boss that way? Technically, she's the boss, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's the one that's bringing in the money. Her performances are putting food on the table. They're paying for the trips to whatever tournament, the coaching or whatever else, you know, they need to get in life, to keep their tennis career going, to keep their life going. You know, these kids with parents on tour, the parents probably not earning any money. You know, they're not providing an income. So it's completely down to the kid to win money at these tournaments. And I'm sure the same is probably happening in the Tomic camp. Bernard Tomic is bringing in the money at the minute. So, you know, he's probably paying for his father to travel with him. And, you know, it's a really, really bizarre situation when these kids pay for their parents to come with them. And then they endure that sort of day-to-day pressure and, in many cases, abuse until a point where someone else gets involved, and eventually the tennis authorities have to step in and remove that parent from the tour. And I probably believe that John Tomic's probably still traveling with Bernard Tomic. I imagine he'll go to Rome with him, despite the fact he won't be welcome on site via accreditation. I can imagine he'll still be in Rome.
Yeah, I can see that. Sure. Because again, you can't, it's hard to tell a father he can't go watch his son play. I mean, he can't travel with his son. And I'm sure that, and if this Thomas Druitt is to be believed, and I don't see why we shouldn't, he says that the father manipulates him. And that's possible. I mean, again, you know, the young fella, here's the thing, the two people you should trust more than anyone in the world are your mother and your father. I mean, and again, these kids just want to please their parents, who in most cases have actually sacrificed financially so that they could play tennis. And he got that dynamic there, and I understand it. And I also understand why these kids do some of the things that they do. You know, they're young people who, while they have glamorous, quote-unquote glamorous lives, or so people think, it's not all that glamorous. And to go out there on center court and take on an Andy Murray who was just hotter than a firecracker and who's stomping everybody on a surface that he loves to play on against someone who probably isn't very popular due to the fact that the father runs his mouth all the time. Well, and then you lose. And then you got to go in front of the press conference, in front of the cameras, and tell everyone why you lost. And then guess what the best part of the day is? You get to go home to Mr. Abusive Father who kicks your ass for it. It's not a pleasant life for some of these kids. I hope, this is my hope, I hope that they find a way to get this guy some counseling. I hope the Madrid courts step in. That's what really needs to be done, is the courts, the ATP can only do so much, banning him from tournaments, taking away his credentials. That's fair. That's the most that they can do. The Madrid courts need to step in and say, hey, you need to get some counseling because you are nuts. You are hurting your kid and you're destroying your chances of your quote-unquote desire for tennis stardom or whatever. The courts have to step in and get this guy some counseling, but more importantly, never allow this guy back on a tennis facility again. Never. He's abused that privilege. It's not a right to be at a facility and to have the type of credentials and the passes that he gets. You know, he's got a full service pass there at these tournaments, or he had. He's forfeited that right to ever do that. The ATP, you know, for all the times we talk about them not defending players, they did the right thing here by banning this guy, and they're going to protect this kid. You'll see. Todd Woodbridge and Pat Rafter are smart guys who are experienced and who've been around a long time, and they're not going to take any guff off anybody, especially John Tomic. Bernie Tomic is not going to leave Tennis Australia. He's going to stay with them. He's already with them now, from what I've been told, and they're looking after him while he's on tour, and they're going to protect him a little bit. Hopefully John Tomic gets some help. Hopefully this family can be a normal family again, because, and I'm not saying that they're not, But what I'm saying is that it looks like there's probably a lot more going on there behind the scenes than we'll ever know. Sad thing, eh, Craig?
It's a sad story, and I don't think there's going to be a happy ending to this one where everyone comes out smiling, but we have to do what's best for Bernard Tomic, his career, and if that means that John Tomic's got to be taking a backseat, a forced backseat, to ensure that Bernard's career progresses, and then, you know, so be it. Let's just hope there's not any more incidents like this in the future.
Well, yeah, that's what we hope. That's for sure. All right, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break. And when I return, we're going to talk a little bit about what you can do if this situation occurs in your world, you young people. And we'll be right back. You're listening to This Week in Tennis on Max Sports Channels every day at 4 p.m. and on Independent Radio LA. And we'll be right back.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nation Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show.
Hi, this is Phil Nason from The Phil Nason Show and This Week in Tennis. When I'm looking for sports information, my first stop, as well as yours should be, sports-kings.com. Great information, scores, highlights, and exceptional commentary. You can find it all there at sports-kings.com.
For you, the listeners of This Week in Tennis, Audible.com is offering you a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I'd personally like to recommend Tim Galloway's book, The Inner Game of Tennis, and you can get this book or any other of over 100,000 titles all for free. Simply by trying audible.com. To download your free audiobook today, please go to audibletrial.com/flashtennis. Again, that's audibletrial.com/flashtennis and get your free audiobook.
Looking for the latest information on your favorite sports team? Why not check out 15-year-old founder Trevor Urenz, prosportsextra.com. Updated daily by a staff of over 30 writers, ProSportsExtra.com is the place to be. You can check them out, and I insist that you do, at ProSportsExtra.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
tonight we come together.
Cool. And I think it's cool.
Somebody's going to be having fun tonight.
All I want to do is go have a good time.
Phil Nason.
Some of the things that these people say.
Jimmy Z.
That is such twisted logic.
Alex Jones.
You heard it here first, now it's mainstream news.
Weeknights, starting at 10 Eastern.
Okay, well, let's go party, baby.
Yeah, tomorrow can wait till tomorrow.
Ah, it's a lot of fun.
I said tomorrow can wait till tomorrow. It's all about tonight.
And we'll have fun, I promise.
Yeah.
Weeknights on the Talk Superstation.
It's all about tonight.
Welcome back to This Week in Tennis. No music today because we really rocked that last segment. Went a long time. But you know what? These are issues that we want to talk about here at This Week in Tennis. Yeah, you know what? We want to also educate while we do this, too. You know, this happens so often. And, you know, we're done talking about John Tomic. I hope what I hope happens to him happens. But, you know, one of the things that you see in the tennis profession is overzealous parents.
And that's a difficult thing to take, especially, and let me relate this story real quick. Last Easter in 2012, I was contacted by the parents of a 13-year-old junior player. He's very promising. He's hit with some pretty big-time guys. In fact, it was one of those guys who said, hey, if you're in Corfu, just go over there. Phil'll take care of you. Phil'll hit with you. And anyway, this guy calls me up, and we make the arrangement, and I tell him how much I want, and I thought maybe he wanted me to coach his kid or whatever, help him with his serve or something. He said, nope, I just want you to hit with him because I'm the coach. And I said, well, okay, that's fair enough. So they get to Corfu, and the weather was horrendous. It was drizzling here at the courts, and I have DecoTurf courts, and as you know, Craig, the minute they start to get a little wet, it's sayonara time. When you've got 100% humidity and you also have no sunshine and you're in the middle of, and we have a beautiful situation here, is that we're completely surrounded by trees. So, I mean, it's completely private. No one can just peek in and see what you're doing, which is really good. People love that because, you know what, adults, when they're learning how to play tennis, you know, they don't want people walking by going, oh, look at that. You know, it's nice. You know what I mean? So anyway, and they're an hour away by phone or by car. And he calls me up and I say, dude, it's raining here. I think we're probably going to have to shelve the session. He goes, no, we're coming anyway. I said, okay. So he comes and the courts are wet. He goes, I want you to hit with him anyway. I said, are you kidding me? We're going to break our necks. And he said, no, I think you should hit with him anyway. I said, well, you're going to provide the balls then, because I'm not going to ruin my tennis balls for this nonsense. And the court's got puddles on it already, right? So anyway, me and this kid are hitting. And I'm fed up at this point. I hit a drop shot and the kid slipped. It was one of those soggy ball shots. And anyway, I said to the kid, I said, what's it like to have a father who knows nothing about tennis controlling your career? And he just looked at me. And the next question I asked him, I said, when was the last time you actually had any fun? Thank you for your time. Have a nice day. You don't have to pay me. Goodbye. The father's so overzealous, it's not even funny. That kid's not going to make it. That's obvious. But that's what happens with people who, and this guy has never hit a tennis ball in his life, dude. And he's controlling this young junior tennis player's career. That's a big red flag, don't you think?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, he's going in head first at the deep end, controlling someone else's career in a field that he has no prior experience of, probably doesn't have a great deal of knowledge of, and he doesn't seem too receptive to take the advice of a professional like yourself. Even on a simple thing like, hey dude, that court's wet, it's dangerous, do you really want me to go out there with your kid on that court and put him in a situation that's dangerous? You know, he didn't want to take your advice on that. And, you know, red flags are popping up everywhere, and, you know, that's the first of me hearing that story, you know, a minute long. And, you know, there's two or three things in there that straight away you would just say, no, this guy, you know, he's far, far too disconnected from the knowledge that he requires to take control of this boy's career.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. But, you know, when you're a kid, though, you're only going to try, like I said, to please your parents. When it turns ugly, man, I'll tell you something. You young people out there, when these things happen, you got to try to sit down with your parents the first day and talk to them and say, hey, look, you know what? Can you just be my dad and hire me a coach? You know, that's the first thing you need to do. You know, you wouldn't ever go into court. Say, for example, you catch a beef and you're in jail for murder. More than likely, you're not going to try to defend yourself. You're going to hire a professional. That's the smart move. Why wouldn't you hire a professional to take care of your kid and to do it right? Why wouldn't you do that? Why would you hire some hitting partners and tell them to shut up and you guide the career because you've been watching YouTube videos? That doesn't make sense to me. But a lot of them do it. And what happens is that they spend all this money and the kid goes nowhere. A lot of times what does happen, and this is a good thing though, is that the local association or the national association sees that this kid can play and they kind of convince the parent, hey, look, you know what, let him come to our tennis academy And you can hang around, still call yourself the coach, but let these guys handle it. A lot of times that seems to work. But this abuse thing has gone too far. I mean, we got to protect our young people, Craig. I mean, these people are out there busting their ass and sacrificing a lot, as are their parents, too. You know, it's a big financial sacrifice. Most of these people aren't rich. They're just trying to get rich. They see the dollar signs usually. You young people, you got to tell someone. If something's not right, you got to tell someone. If your coach, I don't care if it's your mother, your father, acts inappropriately to you. I mean, I'm not talking about yelling at you because they do that sometimes. People lose their tempers. You know what I mean? I mean, but when it gets abusive, when it gets personal, you got to tell someone because you got to nip it in the bud because it's only going to get worse. If you're 13 and your father's calling you a bleeping, bleeping, bleeper, you know, or punching you because you lost a match or punching you because you missed a drop shot, you know, what's it going to be like when you get older? You're never going to escape that. You know, that's what you, so you need to go out there and tell someone. Tell someone. I mean, look at the career of Mary Pierce. She didn't tell anyone for a long time, and she was suffering. You know, she's hooked up now with a cult, for God's sakes, because, you know, she's never experienced that correct love, really, or that correct father-daughter dynamic because he became her coach, manager, whatever. You know, it's not a pretty picture for these young people, man. It really isn't. You know, you got to let these kids do their thing. You, of course, you're part of the life. You're paying the bills. I mean, you fathers and mothers out there, we're not saying you shouldn't be involved because you should. But goodness gracious, keep in mind that that's your kid out there, for God's sakes. I mean, give me a break. These kids are like 13 and 14, and they're getting abused because they lose a tennis match? Doesn't make sense, Craig.
No, it certainly doesn't, but it's not just a tennis-related phenomenon, if you want to call it that. You find it in a lot of sports that a lot of parents, and I'm not saying all parents, but you know, a lot of parents seem to take this controlling approach over their kids' future. It's almost like they take the kid as being too young, lacking in experience, and unable to make decisions for themselves. So they feel this need to constantly step in, provide advice and criticism, often at times where it's inappropriate, not required, or even in some sports, they'll step over the actual coach and try to offer advice different to what the coach is offering. And I think in tennis, we see it a little differently to team sports, etc., because with the kids, it tends to be shown up in a one-to-one scenario. You've got that one parent, one kid, whereas in team sports, you might not see it. There's obviously, a parent trying to coach on the sideline, putting pressure on their kid amongst, you know, a lot of spectators and other parents. But in tennis, the parent is always obvious when they're sitting there in the stand watching the kid, or they're on that training court with the kid. And the dominance always seems to be obvious in this one-to-one coaching. And it is, you know, at times it is completely wrong when they lose tempers, start to get hands-on with their own kid, whatever. Sometimes, I go back to what you said in the previous connection, previous section rather, and that the connection between the player and their parent, I think sometimes muddies the water, and the bond between them just allows, when it shouldn't, for these incidents to occur. Somehow, as if the parent doesn't realize that they've stepped out of the private life and into the public eye when they're doing this. I don't know. It's very difficult to explain. You know, I've not been in that situation myself, so I can't comment on that. But perhaps I could relate to a story younger in my life, because I played soccer when I was a kid. I think I was about 10 or 11 years old. And my old man was really passionate about my game. And his approach was to offer feedback during matches, despite the fact that the team had a coach. And he would often, you know, shout positive and negative feedback towards me while we were playing. And as a player, sometimes it's not what you want to hear. And that's, you know, that's a story from my personal life. I found it difficult, and eventually I got to the stage where I think I reached 13 years old and he stopped coming because he thankfully knew that his feedback wasn't aiding me in any way, and it wasn't aiding the team in any way. Where tennis is perhaps a little bit different is it's an international game. The parents likely to travel with the child, they're likely to bond together on tour, and you know, there's probably no getting away from the parents when you're on an international tennis tour. So it's a difficult situation a lot of these kids find themselves in when they have these overly competitive parents that have a desire for their child to be the best in the world.
Yeah, there's a difference between living for your kids and living through them. And I think that's what you have here in this case. And the other cases that we've known about is that these people who never accomplished much in their lives, all of a sudden, you know, they lose that perspective. They say, wow, my son can hit a forehand like a son of a gun. And they lose perspective. And it's a very sad thing. You know, you're a parent for a lifetime. You're his coach for, what, 10 or 12 years? Do you want the 10 or 12 years that you spent abusing your kid on a tennis court to dictate the rest of your life's relationship with your own flesh and blood? Then by all means, abuse your kids. Treat them like shit. Call them names. Talk crap to them. Tell them that they're failures. Tell your daughters that she's too fat and she needs to lose weight. Do all those things. And when you're 50 or 60 years old and your child hopefully is functioning correctly and has kids of their own, which would be your grandkids out there, ask yourself why you don't get to see them anymore. And why you have no relationship with your kids. That's the answer. You'll answer it for yourself. Take a step back and think, folks out there, you folks with parents, or you parents with kids, junior kids, you're a father and a mother for a lifetime. But you're only a coach for a fraction of that. And if you're not qualified to do that, then maybe you should pay someone else who is. You know what, Craig? That's going to wrap it up for today's This Week in Tennis. Because I'm about to lose my temper now, and I don't want to do that. Because this is an issue that really is not cool. I mean, it's so bad. But, Craig, thank you so much for being a part of this.
You're welcome. And thank you for bringing this topic up, because it has been the big story of the week and one that I think we really needed to address on this show.
Well, I appreciate you doing that. And you know what? I hope that even though this situation is unfortunate, maybe they'll bring some bigger eyes and some ideas on how to fix this. Until, you know, I'll tell you something. It's a horrible thing, but you kids out there, if you're being abused, by all means, you got to tell someone. Don't take that. You have to be the breadwinner. Well, save your family, too. Tell someone. You'll have to be the bigger person, the smarter person out there sometimes. And I know that sucks, you young people, because your parents are supposed to protect you, and that's a sad thing. And in most cases, Craig, they actually do. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up for today's This Week in Tennis. I want to thank Craig Doyle again for being a part of this show. You can find him at craigdoylephotography.com. Until next week, y'all be good, and most importantly, enjoy the tennis.